This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Welcome into the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network. I'm Dan McNeil. Day two of the draft. It should be an exciting weekend. Not so much for Bears fans, but they're still wiping themselves off from Thursday night's first round. And former NFLer Matt Bowen, you probably hear him locally on The Score. He writes for ESPN.com, former Sun-Times staffer, is with us today. And Matt, lots of happy people in Chicago today after Thursday night selections. As expected, Caleb Williams up top, and everybody wanted the shiny toy at receiver, and they got it in Roma Dunze. What are your thoughts?
I agree with both picks. Look, there's no question when you're picking number one that you want someone who has difference making ability. That's what Caleb Williams has. You know what, Danny, when I've been asked about him, I always say he has undeniable talent. Now, there are things you have to coach, like we're just talking about off air. There are things you're going to have to coach. He's going to have to play more within structure and become more of a timing and rhythm thrower from the pocket in the NFL. But to me, that's a coachable trait. That's something that's developed with reps, starting in OTAs, mini camp, throughout training camp, and then throughout the course of your rookie season. But what he brings with that undeniable talent is the arm strength, the ability to throw from multiple platforms, to attack every inch of the field, all three levels, whether inside the pocket or outside the pocket. And I think he's a natural creator, you know, someone that can make special plays when things break down, because we know things are going to break down in the National Football League every Sunday, and you're going to need your quarterback to dig you out and make some big-time plays. Caleb Williams can do that. I agree 100% with the pick, because I think, Danny, you have to swing for the fence in this situation, right? Given what they've been in terms of their track record of the quarterback position over a long period of time, when you have a player out there like Williams, even though he's not necessarily pro-ready in terms of what exactly you want from the pocket right now in terms of that rhythm, like I said, you can teach that, and you're really drafting the talent at the top of the draft. So I was all in on that pick. And then with Odunze, look, the Bears have done a really good job, Danny, of building this pass game. What I mean by that, you obviously know about DJ Moore. They had DeAndre Swift, who's got pass-catching traits out of the backfield. You go out and get Keenan Allen. For Keenan Allen, that is the best thing possible for a young quarterback. If you watch the tape, Danny, on Keenan Allen, he still gets open. And that's the name of the game. We talk about traits all the time, right? Well, eventually you got to get open in the NFL. And on third down, you're talking 3rd and 2 to 6, 3rd and 7 to 10. That's where I expect the football to go in this offense. And now you add Odunze, who has a different profile in terms of his physical tools. He can play the way I describe this, Danny, okay, so I call it the boundary X. What that means is you have trips to one side of the field, right? Three receivers. And that backside receiver usually has a different physical profile, like a Mike Evans, a player like that, that can win one-on-one, that can get vertical up the boundary, that can run the deep end breakers. And I think that's what Odunze brings to this offense. So really, they've rebuilt this passing game in Chicago. It obviously starts with Caleb Williams, but last night with Odunze, you add another piece and someone who can create explosive plays. And I think, Danny, this is a good point. We saw it last night. Look at the first round of the draft. Look how offensive heavy it was at the top of the draft last night. I've never seen it like that. And all these really good defensive players are getting pushed down the board. But that's what the league is right now. It's about the ability to score points and create explosive plays. And that's what the Bears have been missing for years. Even last year with a solid defense. Because to get to the postseason and play in January right now, you got to get to the end zone.
I am all for loading up at quarterback with the first pick. I think it was a no-brainer, which, you know, paraphrasing, that's how you look at it too. And Odunze, you know, I watch the highlight reels, and I think most Bears observers have watched way more pre-draft coverage than ever before because of the 1-9. And all of these first-round receivers were exciting to look at, but what I didn't see much at the college level is physical corners jamming these guys when they try to get their release. You like Adunze's strength to get off the jam.
I do. I think he can play. I use the term, Danny, play through contact. I think he can do it. Now, will it be a transition? Absolutely. Absolutely it'll be a transition, because unless you're playing in the SEC every week and playing Georgia and Bama, LSU, when they have corners that have the profile that's going to get them to the National Football League eventually, unless you're playing in that conference week in and week out, you're not going to see the most challenging defenses. That's in terms of scheme. That's in terms of physicality at the line of scrimmage. So there will be an adjustment. There's no question. But again, you go back to the tools and the traits, what the draft is about. He has those tools to do that. He's going to have to be coached. And that's, you know, that's something I always say when we talk about these players, and they say, well, he can't do this. He can't do that. Well, guess what, Danny? As a coach, you got to teach him. Do your job. Be a coach. That's your job as a coach. You have all this talent here. Now you got to coach him up and get him ready to be a productive player on Sundays, because there's no question Adunze has that. The same thing you could say about Marvin Harrison. I love Marvin Harrison. I thought he was one of the top players in the draft. But you only play Michigan once a year. You know, you don't get that elite competition week in and week out. Now, Neighbors is different at LSU because Neighbors did it against SEC competition. But I still think it was the right pick. And look, there's questions you can say, well, Byron Murphy from Texas, Danny, he could have been a three technique in Eberflus's defense. Dallas Turner, the pass rusher from Alabama. Jared Verse, who I really liked, the edge rusher from Florida State. All of them would have fit what the Bears do defensively and really would allow them to upgrade at certain areas of their defense. But I understand why they went so offensive heavy in this draft, because you have to look at the division too. Detroit can score points. Jordan Love, I'll tell you what, second half of the season last year, Jordan Love was one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, Minnesota's reloading. J.J. McCarthy, you know, Nazareth High School, not far from where I live here in Elmhurst. But all these teams can score points. And you look at Minnesota, what they are with Kevin O'Connell, that offense works. That system works. You have to be able to keep pace, and you have to be able to win some games in this league now where there are shootouts. You know, Danny, when I first got in the league, you could win games 17-3, stuff like those games are gone. It feels like they're gone, right? All the rules that are against defensive players right now, and how much split safety coverage defenses are playing these days, because what they're trying to do is limit explosive plays. That's what the game is.
There's something about the Lions, you know, emerging to the top of the North that I've been very impressed with, and that is the way they've built through the draft with offensive and defensive linemen. Hutchinson, one of the best young pass rushers. Yeah. They've got several first-rounders on the O-line. And that's you know, where I fall a little bit shy of being in love with Adunze, right, when you could have had the third best tackle available, the old Jim Finks way of building the 80s Bears through offensive and defensive linemen. To me, it puts a lot of pressure on Braxton Jones, whose arrow did not continue to go up in year number two, unless you see something I didn't. Do you agree with that? Jones has got a lot of pressure on him now that he's clearly the guy.
I 100% agree, because to your point, Danny, Fashanu from Penn State, you know, went at number 10 to the Jets, and he is a true left tackle. He has the athletic profile in terms of his footwork, his lower body agility, has all the tools you want in terms of the frame, the length. So that's that. You're passing on that player. You're passing on someone that potentially could be a really good starting left tackle in the NFL. What that tells you is they do have confidence in Braxton Jones, but I'm with you. You're not going to talk about Braxton Jones as one of the elite players at the tackle position right now in the NFL. He's not there. Will he get there? I don't know that, but right now he's not. So to your point, that could have been another pivot point for the Bears. Instead of taking a wide receiver, do we build up front? Look what Jim Harbaugh did. You know, Jim Harbaugh has no receivers right now in LA in terms of receivers that you have to game plan for, that creates stress for you in the defensive secondary. And what did he say? We're going to go, they take the best offensive lineman in the draft. And people say, well, he plays left tackle. That's where Rashawn Slater plays. Put them to the right side and teach them how to play on the right side of the line. It's about acquiring talent and securing your edges. The game, you know, when you look at a deeper view of the game, you have to have your edges, right? You have to have edges, the offense and defensive line. And I'm with you. The Bears could have pivoted there. And again, that would have been, Danny, to our point, that would have been an offensive draft pick too. You know, it's at a different, different angle, but it's an offensive draft pick. It's still building your offense out. So that is one that we might revisit in a couple of years. If Adunze takes off and becomes a premier target in the, you know, in the NFL, won't be a discussion. But if he doesn't and Braxton Jones struggles, we could look back in this draft and say, well, that's one place the Bears could have had a different opinion in a different draft.
Jervon Dexter in year number two, with pressure on him as well to get better this year. Justin Jones takes off in free agency. You know, there's all this buzz about Montez Sweat, and I'm glad he's here. But you've got interior D-line concerns too. I don't know if that defense is as stout as a lot of people want you to believe based on how they turned it around the second half. What do you think is best for the Bears defensively for their remaining two picks in this draft?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, you could look at defensive tackle. Obviously, the the difference maker defensive tackle was Byron Murphy, who we discussed that could have been a possibility for them at nine. You know, Newton from Illinois is not going to be on the board when they draft at number 75. He has too many disruptive traits. He'll go much higher than that. And then you start looking at different defensive tackles who could fill that spot, but not necessarily at number 75 have high-end disruptive traits. Now, at pass rusher, there are some players. I mean, I have my list right here in terms of players I looked at. Jonah Ellis from Utah. I don't think Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan is going to be there, but that's a player I really like. Muhammad Kamara is one, Danny, that is interesting to me. He's relentless. Doesn't have the, you know, doesn't have the true measurables that maybe scouts look for at the edge position. But you talk about someone that's relentless, that plays physical, that will get to the quarterback, that had really high-end production at Colorado State. That's someone I could look at, whether it's at number 75 when the Bears pick again in the fourth round, because I think he's in that area. And I always look at it this way, Danny. It's one thing about talent traits like we're talking about, but when you get into late day two and early day three, you're looking at really good football players, right? Really good, productive college football players. And I want guys that have a sense of urgency to them. Now, that's the coaching side of me, but if I'm building a defensive line and looking at that defensive line room, I want guys in there who have tone-setting ability. Maybe they don't have the perfect measurables. Maybe they didn't test extremely well at the combine. But again, when you're getting to that stage of the draft, go for good football players. Go for guys who are productive, have high football character. They're going to bring something to your defensive line room that – can play in a rotation early in their career, but someone that can eventually be a productive starter for you.
Matt, Atlanta surprised everybody last night by taking a quarterback after giving Kirk Cousins a big contract. I kind of like it. I understand what they're thinking there. Anything happen in the first round that made you feel like, man, these guys will rue the day they made this decision? What was one that popped out for you last night?
I think it was, you know, I'll say this one. And it's not a pick they made. It's a pick they didn't make. Buffalo trading the pick to Kansas City. You know, where Kansas City got Xavier Worthy from Texas, who a lot of people have drawn pro comparisons to DeSean Jackson. He, you know, he has explosive playability. He's a vertical guy, but he can get loose in the middle of the field as well. Catch and run ability. You know, someone that adds some juice to your offense. Now, you allow Kansas City to draft him. And if I'm the Buffalo Bills, that, you know, to me, that's the team you're struggling to compete with, right? That's the team you're struggling to beat when it comes to postseason play. And it's not the pick that you didn't make. It's you allowed them to come up and draft a potential difference maker on offense. Another weapon to give to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And to me, that was questionable to me. Okay, now look, Buffalo's going to drop down there at the top of the day two tonight. They're probably going to draft Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas. I really like the player. I think it's a great fit for Buffalo, and that's probably what they're thinking, Danny, right? We can move down and still get this player. But when you trade away the draft capital to a team that you haven't been able to knock off in the playoffs, that's why I question it.
My hope this preseason, Matt, is Matt Eberflus learns from his previous sins and takes August seriously. I know you don't want to get those investments injured, but I've always been of the mindset you don't get better at playing football unless you play football. What would you like to see the Bears coaching staff do in terms of how they can only have so much contact in camp, but how much time they get in those three dress rehearsals?
I think you got to play. I'm with you. Now, look, I'm a little old school in that thinking because when I played, I remember a year in Washington, we played in the Hall of Fame game. And I was a starter, and I started five preseason games, all five of them. And that's how we played under Joe Gibbs and Greg Williams, our defense coordinator. You were going to play. I remember our last preseason game against the Falcons and Michael Vick. So this is the fourth preseason game back then. And we played a quarter and a half. You know, you played. You played a lot. Now, camp was different back then too, Danny. A lot different. You had 2 days. And with Joe Gibbs in 2 days, it was full contact every day. Full contact. You're going to hit every day. You're going to hit. Now, I understand there has to be limitations. You want to take care of players and make sure that they are ready to perform and play at their peak level starting in week one. But again, there's ways to do that. I don't think there's anything wrong with giving your starting offense and your starting defense in all three preseason games. Is you're going to get 2 or 3 series. Okay. Is there a risk for injury? Yes. But I say this all the time. Anytime you put that headgear on, there's a risk. Anytime. So that's a practice field too. How many times do we see in the offseason guys have knees and ankles and OTAs, non-contact injuries, right? So there's always a risk when you walk on that football field and you put that headgear on that you could get injured. But to your point again, if you don't play for a month because of how training camp is structured right now and the lack of hitting, if you don't play for a month and then expect in week one just to flip the switch, it's hard to do. It's hard to do. It impacts so many things. One, your conditioning. Okay, your conditioning is going to be poor. The other thing is conditioning with physical contact. That really puts a lot of stress on your body. So you have to be acclimated to that in a sense. So I'm with you on that. Again, you're not playing every minute of the preseason game, Danny, because you got to evaluate younger talent. You got to evaluate the undrafted free agents you bring into camp. Those all matter. But, hey, can we get 2 or 3 series? And you don't have to run anything crazy. Hey, let's run our base pass concept, 3 or 4 of them. Let's run off tackle. Let's run a couple screens. Defensively, let's play cover 2, get some cover 3 reps, some man reps, maybe a couple zone pressures. Just to get them on tape and just, you know, because also, Danny, you got to remember this. We talked about this before the show. You still got to be coached, right? So if I'm in the preseason, even a veteran player like Montez Sweat, well, we can still develop. We can still get better before the season, but got to have the reps to look at on the tape to do that.
You can follow my guest, Matt Bowen, on Twitter at MattBowen41. It's not unrealistic, I don't think, to expect a playoff berth for this Bears team, is it? No. I mean, I know they're in a tough division, but when they take 7 teams now for the last 5 years. They don't make the playoffs. It's a hugely disappointing season.
Yeah, I think you have to make playoffs. I think based on what you did this offseason, free agency, the trades you made the last 2 years to position yourself to have the talent you have now with the DJ Moore, Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, Darnell Wright at right tackle. You are set up to make a run to January. And look, when you said the division's tough, I agree with you. But I've always said this. All these games are hard. It's hard to win an NFL game. So there's really, you know, and when Danny, we'll see this from a media perspective when the schedule comes out in April. Will they have the toughest schedule? No, look, all those games are hard. Okay, you're going to have to compete every week. You have to compete in the fourth quarter every week to win those football games. But you have the talent now to be in that position to win those football games. You have the talent now to be in a shootout. You have the talent now to take the football away consistently on defense. You have the talent now to rush the passer. You have multiple levels of talent, I think, on the defensive side of the ball. And what you have offensively now, yes, you should be in a position where you go up to Green Bay and you win. Where you go to Detroit and you win. Those are the games you're going to have to win.
Matt, thank you so much for the time. I want to part with this. It's a little trivia question, and I did very poorly at it. I heard on the radio today Michael Penix was only the 7th left-handed quarterback to be taken in the first round in the modern draft era. I got 3 of them, and Steve Young didn't count because that was a supplemental draft. You already mentioned the name of one of them. That was the first name I got right. One of a couple 21st century guys. Can you give me the 6 who preceded Penix?
I give you 2. I mean, I give you Michael Vick and Tua. I was going to say Steve Young, you know.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough. Give me a hint.
It wasn't Mark Brunell, who was a 4th rounder. That's what one of the guys in the ESPN staff suggested. I was thinking Kenny Stabler, who's the only lefty other than Young to win Super Bowls. He was a 2nd rounder out of Alabama. Todd Marinovich in 93 is one of our answers.
Okay.
And Bears fans will remember Cade McNown in 99.
Yeah. Cade McNown, that's
and Of recent vintage, Zach Wilson of the Jets. How easy it is to forget him. But, yeah, Boomer Esiason wasn't on the list. Why do left-handers struggle to find success at the pro level. It doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't, because you can flip over to another sport in baseball where the left-handers are, that's the premium position you're looking for, left-handed pitching, right? It's a great question. It's the same thing. How many left-footed kickers have you seen? You know, you don't see as many left-footed punters. Because I remember when, you know, just during my time in the NFL, when on special teams, when we would go against a left-footed punter, we'd have to change a lot of things. The ball spins differently. You know, there's different things you have to prepare for. So, yeah, it's a great question. It is a great question. I'll tell you what, in 10 years coaching now at the high school level, I think I've coached against one left-handed quarterback. One in 10 years. So, it is a great question.
And did you beat him? Did you beat him?
We did.
Matt, thanks a bunch for the visit. I enjoyed your company. Have a great rest of the draft. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Thank you, Danny.
That's Matt Bowen, former NFL star with the Rams and the Washington Redskins, went to the University of Iowa. Thanking Sam Michael, my executive producer, for doing a great job today. Adam Delavitt runs the Bet Rivers Podcast Network, assisted by Randy Merkin and Troy Mocker, Alex Pastor. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the draft. Back next week. I'm Dan McNeil.
Thanks for listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.